What's going on, everybody? Thank you so much for joining me for this Wednesday edition of Fantasy MLB Today. We are a Sports Ethos presentation, of course, and I'm your host, Joe Orrico. You guys can find me over on Twitter at JoeOrrico99 and also at EthosFantasyBB. Make sure you guys are following us over there ahead of the season starting next week. I guess technically it started today, but we're really going to be kicking it off next week when we have our legit opening day. And you guys are going to want to be following Ethos Fantasy BB if you haven't already. You get all of our new articles, podcasts, news and notes, updates to our draft guide and fantasy pass, every bit of baseball content. We do share it out over there. So drop us a follow if you'd be so kind, and check out the description of this episode and click on our draft guide link. If you're listening on the YouTube side, on the podcast side, you guys can check out everything that we have to offer in our draft guide. Notably, we got the rankings and projections. We have 25 or 26 articles in there. I've lost track. And we have our draft tracker that is powered by the ATC projection system, comparing your team in real time with the rest of your league. And it's color-coded, so it'll show you, hey, I'm dark green in homers, runs, and RBIs. I'm probably okay for those stats. You can be dark red in ERA and whip and think I need to probably take some pitching here. You know, it really does give you a good idea of how you are doing and comparing yourself to the rest of the league in the process. Today, we're doing another mock draft. It's a 10-teamer. We did a 12-teamer the other day, and this one I had kind of a fun idea for. A lot of my mock drafts, I've been trying to build the best teams possible, the most balanced teams. This one is going to be a fun one. We're going to call it the Ricky Bobby team. I watched Talladega Nights over the weekend. Great movie. A lot of fun. But if you're not first, you're last. And we are going to be trying to build one of those crazy high upside teams today in this mock. This is not something that I'd recommend doing in your leagues necessarily. If you play in like 20 leagues, then you can have one that's fun. It's not something that you can't do. But this is going to be kind of like a riskier build. We're going to be shooting for the moon. We're going to be shooting for the upside picks. And we're going to be starting that just in a second. We're going to be doing it using, of course, the way we have done throughout the entire offseason, the Fantasy Pros Draft Wizard. It is a great, great tool for mock drafting. I don't really mock draft on anything else anymore. Every now and then I'll hop into one on one of those sites, Yahoo, CBS, ESPN, or whatever. But this is where I do a lot of my mock drafting. I really like the way the technology is built. You can customize everything, especially if you do have a subscription to Fantasy Pros. You can do all of it. So we're going to be doing standard 10-teamer today. One catcher, one first baseman, one second, one short, one third. No corner, no middle spots. Three outfielders, two starting pitchers, two relievers, four miscellaneous pitchers, and then two utility spots, as we usually do here. We're not drafting the bench. We're just going through the starting lineup here. Standard 5x5 with the regular categories: runs, homers, RBI, stolen bases, and average. And on the pitching side, wins, saves, strikeouts, ERA, and WHIP. So we are going to kick this off. I'm going to be drafting from the number one spot because why not? It's fun. I haven't had a lot of number one picks this year. I've tweeted about it. I've been drafting 11th, 9th, 8th, 7th, 11th, 9th. It's like I have not had a great draft season in terms of where I've been getting my picks, but that's okay. I get to decide today. We're going to take the number one slot here and get ourselves Ronald Acuña Jr. You know, get the suspense out of the way there. But yeah, I'm going to take Ronald Acuña Jr. at one. And like I said, this team is going to be upside. We are shooting for the moon here with these draft picks. So I'm going to go through and see who went after Acuña. Nothing too crazy, I don't think. Nope. Bobby Witt, Julio, Mookie Betts, Corbin Carroll, Kyle Tucker, Freddie Freeman, Matt Olson jumping up to 108 is a little bit of a surprise, but not crazy surprising. I wouldn't do it myself, but it's not a huge shock. Juan Soto at 9, Fernando Tatis at 10, and that rounds out the first. And then starting in the second, Shohei Ohtani, Spencer Strider, Aaron Judge, Trey Turner, Jose Ramirez, Jordan Alvarez, Austin Riley, Bryce Harper, and Ozzie Albies. It comes back to me here. And like I said, we're shooting for the moon. That doesn't mean we're going to be stupid necessarily, but I want to take the guys who have that massive, massive upside. So let's just take a look here across the cheat sheets and just generally, this is a good way to do it if you are using Fantasy Pros. The cheat sheets lay out based on their rankings, based on the consensus rankings, who is ranked where. And you get to kind of look at that all in one place here. So outfield, I have Acuña. It's a three outfielder league. I don't really need to take another outfielder. There's a couple of interesting names, but I think honestly, don't really need to be doing that for now. Corbin Burnes is not really like a Ricky Bobby type of play, really, but in terms of the SPs that are left on the board, he's probably the best guy here. We're only talking about Strider being gone, and you could kind of make an argument that it's Wheeler, it's Castillo, whatever. Corbin Burnes is probably a pretty probably, I was going to say pretty safe, but that's kind of defeats the purpose of this exercise. I'm not going to be stupid just for the sake of being stupid. Corbin Burns is the one that I should be taking here. So I'll take Corbin Burns as my SP1. And then I think I'm going to go with Pete Alonso. He's another, you know, guy with the floor isn't terrible. You know, we saw it last year. I mean, it's better than not terrible. The batting average could potentially be not great, but we're also looking at the ceiling of like a 50 home run hitter, potentially with Pete Alonso. You could easily see him get into 50 bombs, 110 or so RBI, 250, 260 batting average. I'll shoot for the moon, and I'll take Pete Alonso. They are not going to like this draft. Fantasy Pros has given me no worse than a B for any draft that I've done this year. I'm telling you right now, though, they're probably not going to like this just because of my plan going in. After I take Alonso, it goes Lindor, Devers, Wheeler, Semien, Luis Robert, Michael Harris, Corey Seager, Ellie De La Cruz, and Garrett Cole. In the fourth round, Gunnar Henderson, Vlad Guerrero Jr., Luis Castillo, Jose Altuve, Randy Arozarena, Bo Bichette, CJ Abrams, Kevin Gausman, and then Adelis Garcia. Yamamoto definitely is interesting to me. I know that his spring training numbers are not amazing, but we're not going to read too much into spring training numbers, right? I mean, I read into them a little bit, and I take notes about them every single day. I watch as much as I possibly can, and then I release my quick hits on Twitter later in the day. And I do reference things like ERA and strikeouts and things like that. And some people think, well, it's preseason. It doesn't really matter right now what the guy's ERA is. I would say that it doesn't matter a lot, but it still shouldn't be something that you're completely ignoring. Oh, he's been getting absolutely murdered every spring training outing, but that's okay. It's like, is it okay though? Really? Like I think there is a line somewhere. And I think that there are some people who will say, you don't need to analyze spring training at all. It's just bullshit. It's like, no, it's not bullshit. It's real games, even though they're not accounting for the regular season. These are guys playing real games, and we're seeing what they are made of at this point, especially right now. Like, you want to talk about first week of March, guy doesn't have his velocity there. Okay, then that's fine. If a guy is still down a couple ticks right now, getting hit around, then of course that's something that we need to talk about. But I don't think, going back to the original point, that it's such a huge deal with Yamamoto there. I think that the spring training numbers are just not really something you should read that much into. But I'm going to take Yamamoto as one of my picks. And then I'm going to follow the popular crowd here, and I'm going to take O'Neill Cruz. He's going to be going probably in this range in a lot of drafts. I've been getting him in the 60s and 70s and 80s a lot of the time. But I think he's going to be starting to push up into the 40s. And this is going to be the first pick that they don't like, but that is a first-round player if things break right, O'Neill Cruz. And that's, again, kind of the point of what we are doing here. So after I take O'Neill Cruz and Yamamoto, it goes George Kirby, Zach Allen, Pablo Lopez, Tarik Skubal, Cody Bellinger, Manny Machado, Tyler Glasnow, Rutschman, and Valdez. Glasnow would have been a nice fit on this type of team. Devin Williams goes in the sixth round. That's something that you can't be doing. It's just too risky right now. Even with IL spots, you can't be doing it. Logan Webb, Royce Lewis, Aaron Nola, Nolan Jones, Nico Horner, Max Fried, Mike Trout, and Edwin Diaz. To almost conclude round six, I'll be concluding round six here in a second. My team is currently consisting of Corbin Burns and Yamamoto as the starting pitchers, Ronald Acuna, O'Neill Cruz, and Pete Alonso. We are going to add to the, if you're not first, your last team with Mr. Jazz Chisholm Jr. here, because that is another player who is a boom or bust type of guy. And if he's not going to be, you know, right at the top of the league in terms of rankings at the end of the year, dollar values and all that, it'll be because he was not healthy. If he is healthy, there's no doubt in my mind that he is going to be amazing. Now, here is where I will take my first closer. There have been just an incredible amount of closer injuries over the last week, and I think it's become a little bit more important to lock one of them down, regardless of your build, regardless of what you're trying to do. I think that you do need at least one of those top tier closers. 10 teams, 12 teams, 15 teams, 5 team league, 30 team, whatever it is, you need at least one lockdown guy. And I think Josh Hader is probably that dude who's going to give me the strikeouts, a lot of opportunities for saves on a great team. I have no real problem taking him here. He's not somebody that I've generally been clicking on, real drafts, mock drafts, but I like him here, going a little bit later than he generally is going as well. After my Chisholm and Hader pairing, Freddie Peralta, Paul Goldschmidt, Christian Yelich, Logan Gilbert, Blake Snell. Blake Snell has finally signed. It's unbelievable, but he is a member of the San Francisco Giants. Matt McClain, who we just heard today might be having shoulder surgery. I honestly can't even keep the injury straight anymore. Matt McClain might be needing surgery. which is not my favorite thing at all to read. But again, this is basing it off of the expert rankings. I'm doubting that people have gone in. A lot of people have gone in today and taken Matt McLean down yet. That's why he's still going at 707. Tristan Casas, Emmanuel Clase, and Gleyber Torres round out the seventh. Getting going in the eighth, Alex Bregman, Kyle Schwarber, Justin Steele, Grayson Rodriguez, Xander Bogaerts, Zach Eflin, Bobby Miller, Camilo Doval, and Juwan Duran. Another risky one, Juwan Duran. That's probably still too early, you know, and going in the 70s, 79th overall, when we don't really know how long he's going to be out for. We hope it'll only be maybe April, maybe a couple weeks, maybe it'll be 6 weeks. Like, we just don't really know right now. To take that kind of risk in round eight, for me, is just not something that I'd be really that interested in doing. The starting pitchers we have available, oh, we have a couple of Ricky Bobby type of picks. So Cole Reagans is likely going to be one of my picks here. I might go Cole Reagans and Andrés Muñoz. Both guys that, if things break right for them, are probably going to be at the top 10 in their position. And I mean, I've been down on Cole Reagans, right? I love Nick Pollock. He's one of my good friends, but I am down on Cole Reagans despite all my conversations with him and everybody else who loves him. I think that we've just kind of bought in a little bit too much at this point where, like, I think he'll be good, but he's pitching for a terrible team. Wins are going to be likely in the single digits. We did see him really lose his command down the stretch, and I don't know that that's something that's just gone necessarily, or those concerns are just gone. And he's also had two Tommy John surgeries, so it's not like he is an unimpeachable player this year. That being said, I'm clicking his name right here, and I'm taking him, because if things do break right, then we are looking at some incredible stuff. Like, he visually is very impressive on the mound. If you ever watch a Cole Reagans start, he's doing some crazy stuff. Like, he has a great arsenal. I'm not the type of person who's going to break down every individual pitch. Like I mentioned, Nick Pollock, if you want to hear Pollock's breakdown or anybody's breakdown, Nick actually did an interview with Cole Reagans that you should check out. It's like a really, really informative stuff. He's risky. I like him, but he is risky, is pretty much the bottom line. And that's kind of what we're doing here. Same thing with Munoz. Munoz, talent-wise, is a top three reliever in baseball. It's just a matter of if the Mariners are going to screw around too much. Are they going to make it worth your while to take him as a closer? I think as a C2, I have no problem here. Even as a C1, there's really no problem with Andrés Muñoz for me. After him, it goes to Raisel Iglesias, JT Realmuto, Joe Ryan, Brian Reynolds, Ha-Sung Kim, Will Smith, Joe Musgrove, Christian Walker, and Bryson Stott. Going into round 10, Josh Lowe, Nolan Arenado, Nick Castellanos, Paul Sewald, George Springer, William Contreras, Dylan Cease, Jesus Luzardo, and Jordan Romano. Bunch of boring picks. Really, truly a bunch of boring picks going in this range. And boring is good, though. Like, I don't want to, you know, I know I'm doing this upside draft, but boring is generally very good, and it is what wins you your leagues in a lot of cases. Pretty balanced build so far. I've got a couple infielders, a couple outfielders. Pitching is pretty well taken care of. I need a second and third base, one more outfielder. Catcher, you guys know me. If you've listened to any of my shows, you know that, especially in a league this shallow, pushing up catcher is not something that I am going to probably ever be doing. But Seiya Suzuki is probably going to be that third outfielder. I probably have to take him now if I do want him. The upside for Seiya Suzuki could be like a 25 and 15 guy. We know the batting average is really, really safe with him there, just about staying healthy. So let's take Seiya Suzuki with the first pick here of these two, and we'll lock down our outfield. Let me just take a look at the cheat sheets and see, just make sure I'm not missing anything crazy. In terms of second and third, second, I'm not really missing much. There's a couple guys that I really like, and I can kind of wait on them too. And same with third, like there's plenty of talent here at both of these positions. So that tells me that I should be looking at pitching. Complete my starting pitching. So there we have a perfect player for this build. It's Chris Sale. Chris Sale, if he is healthy, if he is, you know, throwing 100, like they're projecting 139 innings here. I'm not sure what this is pulled from. If Chris Sale throws 139 innings, he is smashing that draft day price. Pitching for Atlanta, like you're looking at double-digit wins, you're looking at a sub-4 ERA, massive strikeout numbers, even at this stage. I think he makes a lot of sense here. I will take him as my SP4 behind Burns, Yamamoto, Reagans. I like that. I like that a lot. And it's a reach. Again, I'm doing a specific build here, so that's not a huge concern to me. Yuri Perez goes 1102. My God, Yuri Perez. The silence is deafening. I have no idea what's going on. Maybe, hopefully, by the time this is released to you guys, we will know more about Yuri Perez. But right now, I have no idea what to make of him. It's not looking pretty, though. After him, it goes Alexis Diaz, Dansby Swanson, Ketel Marte, Sonny Gray, Josh Young, Lane Thomas, Spencer Steer, and David Bednar in the 11th. 12th round, Spencer Torkelson, Evan Carter, Josh Naylor, Ryan Helsley, Shane Bieber, Tanner Bibee, Evan Phillips, Yiner Diaz, and Teoscar Hernandez. I should say as well, like if you're listening on the podcast side, hop over to the YouTube, check out the video. You get to see what's going on. You get to see the players who are available, the players who've been drafted. Sometimes I go a little quick. If you want to, you know, go through the YouTube, you can pause and see who's being drafted and do all that stuff. And while you're there, if you're on the YouTube, if you've come from the podcast side or you maybe just found us here originally, hit that subscribe button. We're really trying to build up this YouTube. I've said, if we get to 6,000 subscribers before the baseball season starts, I'm going to give away so much stuff that they're going to have to fire me. So get to 6,000, whether you like me or not, it will benefit you. You'll either get some free stuff. If you don't like me, I might get canned because of it. So definitely be checking out our YouTube if you haven't already. Second and third, still priorities here for me. Let's take a look and see how depleted my target list is. Still some names. I think I know who I'm taking at second. I might as well take him now. And I think I know who I'm taking at third, but maybe I can wait on the guy at third. I won't wait on my second baseman anymore. We'll take Tyro Estrada. He's my guy. I don't even care if he's a reach. It's already well known how much I like Tyro. I don't care. He's my second baseman there. I think the Tyro could be a 30-20 guy or 20-30 guy. Excuse me. He's not going to hit 30 home runs, but I think he could hit 20 home runs, steal 30 bases. That lineup is quietly pretty good. He's a good batting average asset. I think there's a lot to like. As my second pick here, we'll go with another Ricky Bobby type of pick, Hunter Green. If Hunter Green is able to smash this year, then my God, he could be so good. Like the strikeouts, like he could be a 200 strikeout guy in 150 innings. He could be, I don't want to say he could be Strider, but like he's not so far off. He has a terrible ballpark. Obviously the team context is not as good, but I think that's kind of like the ceiling for him. If he's able to figure things out, and maybe it will require him getting out of Cincinnati, but I think that Hunter Green can win a Cy Young. I think he can very easily win a Cy Young. I just don't know that it'll happen in Cincinnati, but I'll take a chance. I'll take a chance on him here at pick 121 overall. It's a little early for sure. In a 10-team league, though, it is get your guys territory. You don't need to be just focusing just on ADP because people won't follow it as much in shallower formats. They'll do whatever they like. So Estrada and Green for me, 12 and 13th round picks. And then but the draft goes Andrés Giménez, Jordan Walker, Michael King, Yandy Diaz, Chris Bassett, Clay Holmes, Zach Gelof, Pete Fairbanks, and Jaron Duran to wrap up the 13th. In the 14th, Gavin Williams, Esteri Ruiz, Bailey Ober, Riley Green, Christian Javier, Anthony Santander, Wyatt Langford, Anthony Volpe, and Tanner Scott. So I need third base. This is when I'm probably going to lock it down. Jake Berger is the guy that I was thinking of. Him or Cabrian Hayes, I think the upside is pretty damn high for both of them. I think Berger could be like a 40 home run guy who gives you decent batting average. Cabrian Hayes could be like a 20-20 guy. I don't think he'll hit 20 home runs probably, but even like, I don't know, 17 and 25 or something like that. I think he could be pretty valuable. I don't buy into what people are saying, which I've seen online a lot. He could be an MVP. He's worth a sprinkle in the MVP betting market. Like, that is ridiculous. There's no chance Cabrian Hayes wins MVP. I will bet my life on it. I will absolutely bet my life on it. But he's still probably a pretty interesting player around this range. I can wait, though. I don't think I need to take him here at 140 necessarily. As a utility spot, I think Vinny P is going to occupy one of them. Certainly, yeah, that's something I don't even really need to think about. The upside there is massive. They're calling it a value pick, and a lot of my picks have been called reaches to this point, so we will take a value pick. Vinny Pasquantino is too heavily discounted. Been talking about it a lot this offseason. He was close to a top 100 pick. He got injured. He had surgery. He's healthy, and now he's like 70 or 80 picks cheaper. I understand him being a little bit cheaper, but I think the price is a little bit too discounted now. And I will take, with my last pitching spot, I'll take Carlos Rodon, because this is an upside team. If Carlos Rodon is able to break through and be healthy this year, like he's been pretty damn good in spring. He struggled the first couple of outings. His last outing was like 5 2/3 of no hit ball. Like, there is a lot to like there still. He's only a couple years removed from being one of the best pitchers in all of baseball, probably the best lefty in baseball for like a 2 or 3 year span. And now people have kind of forgotten about him. 15th round, even with a 10-teamer, that's a very nice price to pay. After him, it goes Christian Encarnacion, Strand, Merrill Kelly, Cedric Mullins, Kenley Jansen, and then Jordan Montgomery, Ian Happ, Justin Verlander, Craig Kimbrell, and Mitch Keller. Jordan Montgomery, the poor bastard. I don't even know what the hell is going to happen at this point. Is he even going to have a job? After the year he had last year, it would be absurd if he starts the year without a job, but we're kind of headed that way. Robert Stevenson, this kickoff round 16, followed by Adbert Alzolay. Weird, really weird to see Stevenson go ahead of Alzolay, but what do I know at this point? with relievers, everything is all over the board. Cal Raleigh at 1603, followed by Yu Darvish, Sal Perez, Walker Buehler, Marcelo Zuna, Luis Arraez, and Jackson Chourio. He would have made a nice little upside play, Jackson Chourio. So I have three picks left, a catcher, third base, and a utility. We need just offensive spots left. My third baseman that I was thinking about taking, Ke'Bryan Hayes, is still there. Catchers. Oh, we have the catcher. This is why I wait on catchers. We're in the last couple of rounds of the draft, and you still have guys who are arguably top 10 catchers on the board. You love it. You love to see it. It is a one catcher, 10 team league. So it's not the most, you know, fair thing for me to say, but still, catchers you can wait on. 10 team league, 12 team league. This isn't going to look that much different in a 12 team league. There might be two more catchers off the board probably at this point than there are. And still a lot to like. So I think Gabriel Moreno is my catcher. And I think I'm going to go probably Ke'Bryan Hayes is my third baseman. But So let's take Moreno because I think the upside there is just monstrous. And then third base, let me just see all the hitters that are left available to me. Is there somebody that I'd be passing up? Let's take Ke'Bryan Hayes ahead of ADP and get yelled at. No, they didn't even yell at me. And then we'll see who's left there. Just best hitter available, essentially. Best upside hitter available with that last spot. So after I take Hayes, it goes Jake Berger. The other guy I was kind of considering, Kodai Senga, Alec Bohm, Shota Imanaga, Jose Alvarado, Brian Wu, Alex Lang, Jose Barrios, and then Sean Murphy. 18th round goes Braxton Garrett. Hunter Brown in the 18th is a beautiful price. Ryan Pressly, Brandon Pfaadt, Ryan Pepio, Jose Leclerc, Francisco Alvarez, Nathan Eovaldi, and Wilson Contreras. So it is just up to me now to pick a utility player. I get to pick my favorite utility player left out of the bunch. Also looking at the upside part of it, and it's perfect. It's sitting us right in the face. It's Eloy Jimenez. Of course it's Eloy Jimenez. If he's healthy, we know what he can do. We know that he can be a 30-plus home run guy. The lineup around him kind of sucks, but the talent level of Eloy has never been in question. It's sometimes the effort's been in question a little bit, but we know the talent is there. It's just about the health. And if he is able to stay healthy, then my God, like this team, if this team is able to stay healthy, it's going to be incredible. I'm very interested to see what the score is. 83 out of 100. That's not bad considering I reached on a lot of picks. Generally speaking, Fantasy Pros have been pretty happy with me this year in terms of my grades. And I should say I'm a part of the rankings on Fantasy Pros, but mine are not a part of the system yet. So this is not like, oh, Joe likes his own draft. Like, no, that's not what's going on here. This is the system kind of digging what we got going on. So let's review it here. Gabriel Moreno behind the dish. The infield is Pete Alonso, Tyro Estrada, O'Neill Cruz, and Ke'Bryan Hayes. I might have taken Tyro Estrada in every single mock draft if that's something that you guys want to, you know, want a little hint about anything. Ronald Acuna Jr., Jazz Chisholm, and Seiya Suzuki in the outfield. My utility spots are Vinny Pasquantino and Eloy Jimenez. Starting pitchers, Corbin Burns, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Cole Reagans, Chris Sale, and Hunter Green. Really like that. The relief pitchers that we have going on, we have Cole Reagans in the relief pitcher spot here instead of Munoz. Another cool thing about Reagans in a lot of leagues this year, relief pitcher eligibility is massive, but my true relief pitchers are Josh Hader and Andrés Munoz. That'll do it. That will do it for us guys. Wanted to mix in a 10 teamer. Cause I know that 12 teamers kind of dominate the discussion, either 12s or 15s, 10 teamers kind of get left in the dark. And I did want to just talk about what I would do in a not standard 10 team league. Cause I wouldn't take this many risks, but honestly, this is kind of generally what it would be looking like for me in this type of league. More upside. You take more upside risks in the shallower formats because if the guys don't pan out, if Jazz Chisholm gets hurt or whatever, then it doesn't cost you as much because the guys still available after the draft on the waiver wire are still very valuable guys. So I do not have any real problem using draft picks on more risky players in this type of league. You guys have seen me playing NFBC 15 team leagues. I'm not taking as many risks there. In fact, I'm not really taking any, but in this kind of format, I can definitely get behind a few risks. So that'll do it. If you guys have any questions, reach out over on Twitter or drop a comment below. But on Twitter at JoeOrico99, make sure you're checking out the draft guide. That is something we are very proud of here. We know you have a lot of drafts coming up over the next week. Make sure you're prepared by checking out all the great content we have on the written side, the rankings and projection side, and also our draft tracker tool. We'll be back again tomorrow. But until then, everybody, take care and have a great night.